And, you know, I mean, I was driving back. I was driving back from Tamworth. I got here. We prayed. And I got to say, we prayed. We stood with Hannah. She wanted us to fight for her man right to the very end. And I said, okay, I'm in. So we prayed right till, I think, midnight. Some people prayed all night. We prayed and prayed and stood there with her for that fight. I thought, yep, if you're going to fight, I'll fight with you. That's what we do, right? We're family. And so it's a big week. On Monday, I think, when I was, it's a bit of a blur this week, Monday, I was at the wake. We had a memorial service and then the wake afterwards. And I think I spoke to about three different men who just shared with me how Sam had kicked them into church, kicked them back to their families. And I don't think Hannah and all them would even know. But one guy just had tears in his eyes and he said he would just not let me go. He'd come and knock on, bash on my door and go, why aren't you in church? Big Sam. And he said, you know what? I'd say, okay, Sam, I'm coming next week. He just backed down and go, yeah, I'll be there, I'll be there. And he said, well, get yourself in for your family now. That was my New Zealand voice. You never know what someone's involved in, amen? And I heard quite a few stories of just him witnessing and sharing God to people in his trucking community and getting in their face and dragging them to church and telling them to get back to their families and get back to their wives, someone told me. So, amen. But he's in paradise. And I can't help but think that. So that's an amazing thing. Amen. And so we'll just, I want to pray for the family. Can we do that? Because it's all about the sorrow here and now. It's not about him. He's gone. It's about that little family losing someone. God, we just pray for them. They are part of our church family. We know what they're going through. God, there must be such emptiness right now in that area, Father God, and we just pray that you would fill it like only you can, that they would know your comfort and they would know your rest, God, and they would just know in this time of grief that you are surrounding them. It says in your word that you're a father to the fatherless, and I speak that over the children's lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And all I can say is we're going to see him again, all I am. And I hope you all are in this room. And I'm looking forward to him showing me around heaven when I get there. And so we're talking about abiding in Christ. And I just think it's such an important topic. And we've been looking at the life of Christ. We can't do this life without abiding in God. Amen? It just doesn't work. If you try and do it, good luck. You're not going to get what you want out of it. And this abiding in Christ is something that Christ talked about, but God actually mirrored and mimicked himself. And the last time I spoke, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we abide in Christ. We've talked about it, but now I just want to get right into the detail of how we do it. And really, there's three things. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that we have to give our will over to God. And I've said this before, but it's the greatest gift you could ever give to God is your will. The reason why there is pain and hurt and agony in this world is because God created us with a free will. Amen? Don't ever, you know, why is there sin? Why is there pain? And why is there famine? And why are there thousands of people that die tragically? And why is there all this pain and agony out there in this world? Simply because God created us with free will. And we can choose. And your brothers and your sisters and yourself, you chose sin. And when you choose sin, you choose to open a door to those areas. Amen? And that doesn't just affect you. It affects your family, it affects your nation, it affects everyone, amen? And we live in a world where God didn't want us to be robots. He created us in the likeness and image of him, and he gave us that ability. So your will, when you become a Christian, when you tip your will into God, it is precious to him. When you decide to say, I want to live for you today, Jesus, Jesus has a smile on his face because it's a choice that you've made. Amen? When you decided to be here at church, that was a decision of, well, you could have gone and had breakfast. Breakfast is pretty trendy these days on a Sunday morning. Local cafes are filled. You can go before breakfast like Dave, who gets a bike ride, and then come to church. Just got to get up early. But you can do all sorts of things, but you chose to be here, amen? And you chose to love God, and you chose to have your children in church, and these are all choices of our will. Our will is precious and beautiful. But keep an eye on your will. Because you can have a season in your life where your will is dictated by God, and then you can drift. Amen? I've been in times where it just felt like everything about my life was just led by God, and then there's been times I've drifted. And I feel like, whoa, hold on, what's going on? Andrew Harper's in charge, not God anymore. And suddenly things get hard. Things of God get hard. And if you don't put yourself in that place of constantly challenging your will, your flesh nature wants to take your will this way, God wants to take your will this way. We know that, don't we? And God actually knew that. Jesus knew that. And the second area I want to talk about abiding, is prayer. And for Jesus, prayer was not just an action, it was a lifestyle. It was a lifeline between him and the Father. It was a means by which he did life, by how he craved the presence of God. You can see, if you look at the Gospels and you read through the life of Jesus, you see how he craved his prayer time. He craved that time with the Father. You know, there's something about when we look at the life of Jesus, we've got to understand something. A lot of people, when they see the life of Jesus, they see the birth of Jesus, and then they see the death on the cross, and they go, okay, that's it. He was born of the Holy Spirit, and then he died on the cross. But we kind of miss the whole living, right? Jesus actually lived as a man. He lived as a man. Did he have the deity of God? Yes. Did he choose not to use it? Yes. Come on. He drew on the Father and the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the next time we talk. I can't wait to get into that because it's just great. But he drew on a relationship. He abided. He did not do anything that we can't do. Are you with me? He lived within the parameters of his humanity to show us how to live. And if you don't get that, if you think that Jesus was just this miraculous and not relatable to us, you're missing it. Because what you need to do when you pray, when you need Jesus' help, you need to know that you are praying to someone that completely relates to everything you feel and have been through. Every single temptation. Let me say this. Was Jesus tempted to morally fall? Yes, he would have been. Come on. As a man, was he tempted to fall into worry, anxiety, fear? Absolutely. All those areas of his life. I mean, you look at when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, into a place of temptation. When you actually look at the reality of that, he was 40 days and 40 nights. So he was at his lowest. He was absolutely starving. He was as physically weak as he could be. You get to that point, you're physically weak. Amen. He was as thirsty as he could be. And guess who his tempter was? Not some low-level demon. It was the devil. Now, the devil was not omnipresent, all right? So if the devil was tempting you personally, you've got a huge agenda on your life, just quietly. Amen? If the devil turns up, and I've heard stories, it was someone, Smith Wigglesworth or someone, he woke up and the devil was at the end of his bed and he said, it's only you, and went back to sleep. That was the story, guys. But if the devil was tempting you personally and taking you to high places and showing you everything and transporting you places, if the devil's tempting you like that, if you are the number one agenda on the devil's thing, then wow, you've got somewhere, right? You haven't sat under that sort of temptation. You've got some low-level demon. They're pretty good at what they do. They know you quite well. They know your flesh. They know what your weaknesses are. And they don't get, you know, these demons are demons, right? That they're going to be tempting you constantly. But we're talking the devil here. Jesus hasn't eaten or drinking for 40 days. He's been led by the Spirit into that wilderness. That's an interesting factor, isn't it? Come on. Into a place led by the Spirit of God, into a place where he was tempted. And he gets into this place and he's in there and he's tired and he's his worst, absolute worst. And isn't that how the devil comes? You know, temptation, I've noticed, comes when you're kind of down, when you're really tired, it's the end of a day, you're overwhelmed, amen? And quite often when you're alone. Alone, tired, hungry. And the devil turns up. See, what I'm trying to get through to here is when you pray to Jesus, when you connect with Jesus, you're connecting with someone who goes, I understand. There's empathy. It's not like this God up there who's all holier than thou, that just, how dare you even think of sinning? I'm God. It's like Jesus going, hey, I know, I felt that. I felt that. I know exactly how you're feeling right now, but I'm with you. Come on. That's a huge different way of connecting with Christ, isn't it? When you're in this place, I mean, when you come to temptation, you're in a place of temptation. You need someone who's going to know, hey, Jesus, it's really tough right now. I don't know how I found myself in this spot. I'm really tempted right now. Jesus will go, man, I know exactly how you feel. It's full on. But you can get through this. We don't need some unrelatable God. That's why he decided to walk as a human and gave up his deity and drew on the Father and the Holy Spirit to live, to show us how to live. Amen? And we've got to understand, see, his prayer life, the prayer life of Jesus is powerful. It's absolutely everything. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So don't think for a second he wasn't immersed in every temptation and everything, and you can't believe that the devil didn't throw every single thing he had at Jesus to tempt him. So Jesus had this intimate love for the Father. So what I'm trying to drive into first point on prayer is prayer was about relationship. Prayer wasn't just some sort of automatic ritual thing. It was all about relationship. For Jesus, everything came out of that. Everything came out of this place. He needed his Father, and he ran to his Father. And you look through the scriptures, all you see is him running to his Father, running to his presence. We can get overwhelmed with life. We can get overwhelmed with fear, and life can be tough. It can distort us. It can mess up all sorts of things in our life when we live outside of that. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew what was on his life, and he knew what he needed from the Father. And I want you to think differently about prayer. I think prayer is something that we've got to change our mindset around. Because if you've had a different idea of prayer, with the grace of God, prayer becomes relationship. Simple as that. It becomes relationship. And I've learned something early in my Christianity. I think when I tipped into God, the reason why I didn't become a Christian is because I thought my Christianity is about the Ten Commandments, what I can't do. And so that kept me away from God. And then when I found God, I came back and realized it was about the love of God and he empowered me to live righteously. I tipped in this, but my first early days of Christianity, I was very routine with my prayer, very, very routine. And then I got married and I met Marianne and we were part of this relationship. And I remember talking one day, honey, when do you pray? You know, the alarm doesn't go off. I was getting up, going and doing this and my walks and things. And remember she just said to me, honey, I just pray all the time. And I went, yeah, sure. One of those things. But over time, I actually realized she actually does. And I kind of had it wrong. Because prayer for me was like this slot, this religious thing that I did come into my prayer time. Okay, God, I'm here to communicate with you because the communication line is open. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Portal is open. All right, I've got 10 minutes. How are you, God? What would you like me to pray for? I'll pray for salvation for my friends. I'll pray for your favor. Sins. Yes, I forgive me for these three sins. Okay, four. You know there's four. You know what I mean? And then I'd portal closing. Portal closed. Zoom. Whew, there you go. I'm done for the day. Kind of was like that. And, you know, my whole desire in my life was to increase that portal time, an hour. I've spent an hour in the portal of Christ. Wow. But the reality is, look, you've got to start somewhere with prayer, right? If you've got no prayer life, you need to maybe set some way to start. But the reality is, prayer is actually becomes a relationship and a connection with God. Come on. By the grace of God, it means that you chat, and I'm driving here, I'm chatting, I'm constantly asking Jesus to show me where my keys are and all sorts of things. Holy Spirit, you know, he's probably frustrated. Buy a zipper, buy something else. I've got to find it on my watch now for my phone. I think Jesus goes, finally you've got some technology to find your phone. So that's not what we're talking about half the time. But anyone else like that? But the reality is that by the grace of God, he just wants you to be in this constant flow of relationship. And when you look at the life of Jesus, don't look at someone who religiously went into a spot early in the morning to pray. Look at someone who couldn't do life without the Father. You know what I mean? It's not someone who was like that piety, you know. And the disciples said, well, you're going to, I'm going off to pray to the Father. Of course you are. Course, we'll be over here. You know what I mean? If you actually read through the scriptures, you actually see funny stories. Like you see the one where they're all looking, he gets up really early, and Jesus got up early quite a bit, right, to pray. And we think, oh, you've got to get up early, 4 a.m. just to pray. Well, it was because he was so darn busy. And there were so many people clamoring for him. If Chris Thompson was known throughout his whole neighborhood as someone that heals and raises people from the dead, there would be a small queue outside his house in the morning. True? All the neighbors would be like, Lord, is Chris awake yet? Is Chris awake? What time is it? I know he needs a bit of sleep. It's 4 a.m., but I've got all my sick friends. You know, I've got my dog here, my cat, my budgie's sick as well. And everyone's sick, and you'd be queued up around you. True? The reality is that, and I love this, it says, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then they healed many who were sick, various diseases, and cast out demons, and did not allow the demons to speak. This is Mark 1, chapter 33. The whole city was at the door. Is that busy? You think you've got a busy life? You've got a couple of people on a early Saturday morning, ding dong, and it's a JW or something. Someone's at the door. Well, Jesus had the whole city at the door. And he'd been casting out demons. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, so what Jesus does is before the city gets to the door, he's going out to meet the Father. And it says, now in the morning, having risen long before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. because he's just trying to get some space. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. Oh my goodness, where are you? What's going on?" But he said, "Let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." It's another point on the will of God. But see, Jesus has constantly lived in a place of prayer and drawing on God. You know, I wonder where your prayer life is. Because if your prayer life is slotted into a time where you're going to meet with God, well, then how are you going? If you're getting up early because it's the only time in the day that you know that your phone's not going to go off, and the kids aren't going to ask you for something, and, you know, the husband or the wife isn't going to get involved, and you know, if that's the only time you've got to pray, then, yeah, that works well. But if you've got some time in your car, or if you've got a lunch break where no one bothers you and you can go for a wander and a walk and a talk, or if you can do it in your life, just go for it. Are you hearing me? Because Jesus would have done that constantly, but he did that because his life was probably a bit busier than ours. Just quietly, the savior of the universe. Everyone, casting out demons, you name it. Amen? I want to challenge you. Don't pull away from chatting to God. And by the grace of God, you can chat to him, you can talk to him, you can say whatever you want to him. Come on. And don't you dare think that Jesus doesn't understand you and get you and know every feeling and every thought and every intention of your heart. He knows it all. You read through the Gospels, all you see is lists of how Jesus, he spent his life in prayer. He toured. You see, when it comes to the will of God, I'm going to go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 33, and we read the story, and it says that the disciples were looking for him, and then they came to him, and because there was a whole crowd gathered, and literally they are thinking, hey, you're going to step in, and you're going to preach, and you're going to heal people and release demons more. And Jesus basically just says to them straight away, he says, let us go to the next town that I may preach there also, but for this purpose I have come forth. So it was complete direction change and changed. And you know what? One of the biggest things I find about people that they're spending time praying for God's will, but you kind of get God's will when you just pray. When you pray for a relationship, you'll get God's will. God's will is not one destination. God's will is for today and for tomorrow and the day after and the week after and the next week. Amen? I don't think it's just one big purpose. I don't think you just pray and God says, my will is that you will do one thing. Your life kind of goes like this. And I think the will of God actually gets revealed to you when you're in relationship with God. If you read the life of Christ, he's constantly doing changes and making decisions, and he won't do anything unless he prays. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said he went away and prayed for God's will, came back and said, I'm going to pray for Lazarus to be raised from the dead. Done. Before he did anything, before he went to the cross, before he made decisions in his life, you see this life of him just in constant prayer. I want to demystify prayer. When we come, for a lot of people, prayer is like, oh yeah, I haven't prayed unless I've got together with the church and prayed. Well, when you get together and gather at the church, yeah, that's prayer. But there's a different type of prayer. The prayer I'm talking about abiding in Christ. There's a power when we come together, absolutely. There's a power when you and your husband and your wife or your in relationship get together and pray, but there's a prayer that we need to have for us to abide in Christ, and that is a communication, a connection prayer, and you need to work it out. It needs to be something that just becomes natural and easy to you. Don't make it difficult. Seriously. It's not something that we need to make that difficult. It's something that we just need to do all the time. When we get in our car, when we're walking with our family, when we're by ourselves, we can just open up our hearts to God and begin to speak and involve him in our lives. The will of God is something that God constantly wants us to move in. Before every great message, before every revelation, before any healings, you just saw Jesus pray. It says he prayed. Of the four gospel writers, Luke most often mentions Jesus praying. He prayed at his baptism, Luke 3:21. He prayed in the desert after wandering from the crowd. He prayed all night before choosing the 12 disciples. He prayed at the Mount of Transfiguration. These are examples of just how he prayed. He prayed in every area of his life, every aspect, every part of his life. He prayed on the way to work. Prayed on the way home. He prayed at dinner time. He prayed. He just constantly talked to the Father. He knew the power of being connected to the Father. In the garden, in the desert, in the crowd, by himself, even on the cross, Jesus was constantly connected in prayer. Wherever he was. And he is set his life up as an example for us to live this Christian life, that we would just open our mouths and pray. And I think one of the greatest things for me was when I just uncomplicated it. And I think Marianne taught me that. I was like, oh, okay, that's prayer? I thought I had to be prostrate on the ground for an hour for it to be prayer. No. That's kind of weird when you're in a shopping center, you know, and you're just asking for God's will about something. People just be like, okay, weirdo. But we just need to invoke a lifestyle of just talking to God and talking to a God that knows you and knows everything you're thinking about and feels your pain, knows and can relate and can actually meet you where you're at. Amen. I want to get the musicians to come up. I don't want to go. I've got a bit more in here, but I want people to know Jesus. Abiding in Christ is a relationship. It's connection. It's talking to Jesus. It's about being in a place where you know that he is listening to you and you can talk to him. And I know that there are people in this room where prayer is something that you've just haven't invoked over your life because you've seen it as something different. But I need you to see it as something . So as they just strum in the background, I want you, just close your eyes. Just relax. Nice, comfortable chairs. And I want you to just begin to pray. There are times when you need, obviously, to quote scripture, and it's powerful. But sometimes I think it's just purely just talking as if he's a friend. And I want you to talk to Jesus. Come on. Talk to him as if he's someone. Tell him about something that's going on. Tell him about something that's on your heart right now. But for a moment, just get an image that you're looking into the eyes of a Jesus who knows absolutely how you feel. He understands what you're going through. He understands what your situation is. And he's intently looking with piercing eyes, looking at you. He's watching your mouth move. He's looking into your eyes because he's in love with you and he wants to hear you talk and he wants to know how you feel. He wants you to talk to him because everything he did in his life, everything he went through and everything he chose to do was for this relationship. And when he lived on this earth, he knew what it was to steal away and to spend that time with his father. He had a relationship with his father before he came to earth, and he craved it and craved it. And Jesus wants to be that for you. Because in this place, I want to see prayer. Prayer is just talking to God, being honest. Being honest about your feelings. Being honest about your situation. And he's here. And he stares at every one of you as if there's no one else on this earth but you. He does have that power. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. And he can be sitting opposite you, looking straight into your eyes. He's got that power. Jesus. Some of you are starting to hear his voice back. How you hear his voice, you know, it takes time. It takes relationship. You hear it in your heart. You hear a You begin to sense him talking back to your heart. Sometimes that takes time. Sometimes he leads you to the word, and you read the word, and it just speaks so clearly and precisely into your situation. But some of you in this place, it's like you're just feeling him, telling you it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right. He's with you. God says, be still and know that I am God. Spirit of God. While you're in this place, can I just, I want to do what I know is on the heart of Christ more than anything. If you're in this place and you're not in relationship with him, and I'm talking about relationship, maybe you've known about God, you've known about Jesus, you've read the stories, maybe you've grown up in church, you've been around church, maybe you're a Catholic or Anglican or Orthodox. But I want to ask you this morning, have you ever consciously made a decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior and enter into a relationship with him where you know that he is your Savior? And if you've got any doubt about your life, about whether or not you are truly saved, whether you have the grace of God on your life and his righteousness, that your eternity is heaven, if you've got any doubt about those areas of your life, then friend, you can actually live in a place where you don't have doubt, that you know that you know that you are a Christian, that you are a believer, that you're in relationship, that you're communicating with God, that he is your soul Savior. You can open your life to him, and you know that your eternity is set. I know even up the course of this week, maybe there's been doubts in your mind when you've heard about Sam, but do you have doubts in that area? I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven. That when I leave this earth, it's a promotion, and I go to heaven. I go to a place, as God's word says, that he has prepared for me. He's gone ahead of me and prepared a place for me, and I've got that assurance. I've got that definitely on my life. And I want everyone in this room, you can have that as well. with every eye closed, I want you just to think about yourself for a moment. Just think about yourself. And I'm going to pray a prayer right now, and I just want you to pray it with all your heart and pray it as if you've never prayed a prayer like this before, if you've never prayed to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then pray with all your heart and believe that Christ is going to step into your life and you're going to have a relationship with Him. And I'm going to get our church family just to pray along as well. In Jesus' name. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept today that you want relationship with me. And I accept today your forgiveness of my sins. I repent of them. And I accept your grace that's given to me. And I accept your righteousness that's given to me. And your mercy that comes over my life. And I accept today that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That eternity today is placed in my heart. That I will be with you, Jesus, in heaven. Come into my heart, Jesus. I surrender my will to you. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer and you seeking a relationship with God that you know you don't have, or maybe you've prayed a prayer in the past but you didn't mean it, and today you mean it, I just want you to raise your hand. Come on. That's you in this place. Just raise your hand. If you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus, you prayed that prayer, it was your heart, and you wanted to do that today, and you prayed that the first time or as a rededication, just lift your hand up. Just acknowledge you. Every eye closed. We want to make sure that there's someone around you to talk to you afterwards. It is the most important decision you could ever make in your life. We don't want you to do that alone. So lift your hand if that's you. Spirit of God. Okay. God, I thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you that the greatest desire is for us to be in relationship with you. I know that you've cleared all the decks, you've created, you've pushed everything aside so that there is nothing stopping us from being in relationship with you. By your grace and by your mercy, for us as believers, there is nothing that can stand in the way of us talking and connecting and spending time with you. You've given us access to you 24/7. There is no sin. There is nothing this world has created, as your word says. There's nothing in life or death that can separate us from your love and from relationship with you. And every one of us in this room have an opportunity to be in that place. And God, I just pray today that you would just heard your people talk to you. And I know that, God, that is the greatest desire of your heart. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, every one of you is a man or woman of prayer. If you prayed today, you chatted with God, you're a man or woman of prayer. Amen. And was it easy? Come on. It's not hard, is it? And I pray we just keep doing it. Don't make it complicated. Let's tip into this. Let's be men and women of prayer. Amen. Amen.